News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
If the NBA lockout is going to be resolved anytime soon, it seems likely to be done in spite of David Stern, not because of him. I say that because the NBA's infamously egocentric commissioner seems more hell-bent lately on demeaning the players than resolving his game's labor impasse. How else to explain Stern's rants in recent days? To any and everyone who'd listen, he has alternately knocked union leader Billy Hunter, said the players were getting inaccurate information, and started sounding Chicken Little claims about what games might be lost if players didn't soon see things his way. Stern's version of what's been going on behind closed doors has, of course, been disputed, but his efforts were typical of a commissioner who has always seemed eager to be viewed as some kind of modern plantation overseer, treating NBA men as if they were his boys.
21 minutes after the hour, News and Talk 1380 WAOK, Sports Kings Radio, Robin Dean hanging out with you. And those were the controversial remarks made by Bryant Gumbel in regards to NBA Commissioner David Stern. And I was really shocked when I heard that. What about you, Dean?
Oh, absolutely. I was shocked as well. Just too strong of a statement by Bryant Gumbel. And a lot of the claims where he said that David Stern was out there in the media bashing everybody, I personally never heard of it.
Neither did I. 404-892-2703 is the number if you want to jump in on the show. But right now, Dean Reed, we are being joined by none other than Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com, one of the best and brightest in the business. First of all, Chris, thank you for joining us on Sports Kings Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that, and thanks for the plug for the new site.
No problem, man. So we just heard the comments from Bryant Gumbel. How accurate do you think those comments are in regards to Commissioner Stern?
Well, it's kind of what I think about those statements. Bryant used two loaded words, and that, given everything Bryant said, a lot of it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. However, you use a loaded term like plantation owner, and all of a sudden you bring all sorts of racist stuff into it. Because then you basically call him a racist. It's a word that, you know, sets off alarm bells. It's too strong of a phrase. And I think that's what everybody focused on were those two words and what Bryant Gumbel said. But, you know, what else Bryant said is that Stern has been, you know, trying to exert more and more influence over the players. And it's true to a certain degree with some of the conduct rules and how he's kind of had to repair the league after the big brawl at the Palace. You know, they put in a dress code. They put in much tougher rules on fighting. You never see fighting anymore in the NBA. And you know, that's kind of fueled this talk over the last half decade that Stern is too controlling of a person over a league where, you know, 80% of the players are black. So, the roots of what Bryant's talking about go back a long way. I think people tended to put it in the context only of the lockout, which is probably not fair to Bryant. But then also, like I said, those two loaded words, you can't call someone a plantation owner. It's offensive to white people, especially a guy like David Stern, who's, had so much success in making the NBA have crossover appeal in the white community, because what other sport has done that? When David Stern took over that job, everybody said it was impossible to get white people to watch the NBA because it was a black sport. And I think he's proved this wrong. You know, everybody, all those people are wrong over the course of the last 25 years. So, anyway, that's my long-winded answer on what Bryant Gumbel said.
No, and I agree totally. I think, you know, that David Stern likes to have power, but, you know, calling the man, you know, a racist and a plantation owner, that's just a bit much. But as far as the lockout itself, Chris, they met for over 30 hours, still really haven't made a lot of progress. What is the latest on the NBA lockout?
Well, here's the thing. They have made some progress on a bunch of issues, or they've gotten closer on a bunch of issues. Like, you take something like the mid-level exception, which allows a team that's over the cap to sign an additional player. That number's those contracts started at almost $6 million a year last year, and there were guys getting them like Travis Outlaw and Johan Petro got them with the Nets, and they go out 6 years and $34 million, and that. Usually with the mid-level, that's become dead money in the NBA. Those are the guys that are killing your cap. And, you know, there's been very few. something like 80% of the mid-level signings have been disasters.
Wow.
Like, the only one you can point to recently that's been good is Ron Artest, because, heck, Ron Artest was the best player on the Lakers for, you know, for the whole 48 minutes in that Game 7 championship victory over the Celtics 2 years ago. Pau Gasol was the best player in the last 5 minutes, but Ron Artest was the best player throughout that game. And remember, Kobe shot 6 for 24. So Ron Artest, you know, he earned his money in one game. He was a good mid-level signing. But getting back to my original point, when they first started the negotiations, the owners wanted to get rid of the mid-level exception. Mm. And now they're at a point where the owners are saying, okay, it could start at $5 million instead of what it was going to do to be, which would have been $6 million. And you can get that for 3 years. So you can sign a guy for $15 million for 3 years. That's what the owners are offering. And that's a long way from you can't have that anymore. So that's when the league says they've moved on stuff, that's an example of where they've moved. But the players will come back and tell you, well, they've moved to a place where even the mid-level guys are going to be making less money. But I think in a system where the amount of money where the players are going to get collectively is going to shrink, then you have to find mechanisms to give out smaller contracts. And if the mid-level, you know, the most you can get from the mid-level gets cut by more than 50%, I think that's one of the system controls we'll see that are different in this agreement than the last one. And on stuff like that, they have made progress. So, you know, another thing they've come up with is an amnesty clause where you can take one guy on your team right now and cut him. You still got to pay him, but his money doesn't count in your cap.
No.
So you take a team like the Portland Trailblazers, they got Brandon Roy on a max contract, and Brandon Roy's knees are a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to hold up for the rest of his contract, and they got 4 more years of Brandon Roy at making $18, $20, $21 million. They're going to be able to amnesty all that money. They still have to pay Brandon, but it doesn't count on a cap anymore. Okay. Now, the Orlando Magic can do the same thing with Gilbert Arenas, mm-hmm. who's got $60 million coming to him. So what that's going to do is free up a lot of money to be used in a more efficient way to pay the players who are performing. And I think that's one of the things that the owners have been pushing for that hasn't really gotten a lot of traction, but pay for performance. They don't want a lot of guys like Eddie Curry out there eating up all the money that should be going to players like Derrick Rose, who's winning an MVP on his rookie contract. There's just an inherent unfairness there. So when they talk about fixing system issues, that's the kind of stuff they're working on, and they have made progress in terms of moving off their, you know, the previous positions and moving to a place where they can see the middle and where the deal is on some, you know, a bunch of these system issues. So they didn't do nothing up there this week, guys, for the 30 and a half hours over the course of 3 days. They made progress on big issues, and they moved closer on the money. They're one side's at 50, the other's at 52 and a half. So, you know, when they started the week, they were at 47 and 53. So, you know, that's discernible progress. And it comes to question of, it got so heated 2 nights ago on Thursday night. You know, when is everybody going to cool off so they can still get this done and get an 82-game season in? And that window's closing.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get something done, like, in the early part of next week, it becomes more and more difficult to envision, you know, having an 82-game season and making it, you know, being capable of doing it. Number one, you got to push back. Let's say you start on Thanksgiving, so you lost 3 weeks of games. So if you push back the start of the playoffs 2 weeks, then you only got to cram in a week's worth of games. You got to find a spot for about three or four games per team, you know, that were in previous blank spots in the schedule. But either way, if you cram an 82-game season in to a time frame that's 2 or 3 weeks shorter than what you're used to, it might make for some raggedy basketball, but you still save the integrity of your schedule. You know, an NBA schedule is an 82-game schedule. It's not a 70-game schedule. And, you know, and playoff seedings are based on what happens over 82 games. I think purists kind of need that to not make this be an asterisk season. But, again, in order to get to where you're at an 82-game season, you got to close the gap, or you got to finish off this deal really in the next few days. Otherwise, you know, that window closes, and then the offers on the table, maybe down the road, especially if teams decide to get a little too entrenched, they're not going to be as good as what's out there right now.
All right, he is Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com. Chris, great stuff. Really appreciate you for checking in with us. And hopefully we can get this thing resolved so then we can call you for some expert analysis, okay?
All righty. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
No Thanks, problem. Man. You made me feel a lot better about all this information. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, and of course, you can check him out on Twitter at Chris Sheridan or the website SheridanHoops.com.
It's Sports Kings Radio with Rob Calloway and Dean Reed.